Well, I hope that you can say joy to the world despite all the craziness, guys. I hope that this song brings you a little bit of peace. Let's sing Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing.
Counting your blessings. I hope that you have many things that you've been able to rejoice over the last few days. We are excited that Kirtland actually came. The baby is getting used to a new schedule. I think he says she sleeps between 3 and 7 or something weird.
No, she doesn't sleep,
she doesn't
morning,
sleep between 3 and 7? I don't know. She does not sleep between 3 and 7 yet. But anyway, let's give him a big hand in Victoria, even though she's not here. And we are so glad that little Everly is here, and we're looking forward to loving on her and getting to know her in the days that are ahead. You know, there's a lot of reasons, if you count your blessings, to say hallelujah, and I hope that you can sing this song from your boots today. Let's sing her out.
Amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain for many my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me when I am surrounded. Your love carries me. Hallelujah. Is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain for many my feet. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me when I am surrounded. Your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love is surprising, I can feel it rising. All the joy that's growing deep inside of me. Every time I see you, all your goodness shines through. I can feel this God's song rising up in me.
that is true of your heart. You know, I was sharing with First Service that this is possibly one of my favorite songs, simply because it talks about this grace, that God would give us what we don't deserve. And then you can't help but look at grace without seeing mercy, which is he keeps us from what we do deserve. You know, I think back to my life and the mistakes that I've made over the years, and I'm so glad that God's grace was bigger than all of my sin. Amen? Let's sing this grace.
This anchor for my soul, this everlasting hope, your grace on which I stand. It's where my life begins, my future held within, your grace on which I stand.
Again, when I think back to, you know, different days and early on, I'm glad that every time I was making mistakes in my walk with Jesus, that he never left my side. And, you know, that's grace and mercy again revealed to us. But I'm some glad that in the lowest moments when everybody else had kind of fled, that Jesus was the constant in my life. And I hope that you can always say that when you look back, that Jesus has never left your side. Let's sing. There was Jesus.
tried to make it on my own. Every time I tried to stand and start to fall, all those lonely roads that I have traveled on, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, and the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. There was Jesus.
This next one was written really not that long ago. It was in the 80s by Bill and Gloria Gaither, but it has such a beautiful feeling, and there's something special about this song. I hope that you'll join us as we sing "There's Just Something About That Name."
Like the fragrance after.
like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven.
So it's kind of been interesting. Did everybody get what they dreamed for Christmas? Woo! Brooklyn, did you get everything you wanted and more? What did you just drop? You dropped bear. You can get them. Don't worry about that. Everybody get something cool? Yeah? I got strange, weird things. I got awesome things from my past. I got things that we weren't expecting that blessed us. So thank you to everybody who just thought of us. And thank you for your giving, whether it be to your family or your friends. I think that that's pretty neat. I got my ma. She's coming second service. This is the first time she's seen her grandkids in 2 years, and she's going to stay for the month of January, which I'm quite excited about. So we've been doing a few things. She had never cooked lobsters, and I had her convinced that they were about to scream when I put them in the pot. She said, "How do you know they're done?" I said, "When they stop screaming." So anyway, it was an interesting thing for her. She was listening real content to hear the little screams, but it never happened, of course. And I was pretty excited that the Pecks got Everlay, right? So a new baby is here in our midst, and that's pretty exciting. She's very squishy. I can't wait to hold her. I think that that's pretty neat. It's beautiful to give and to get at Christmas, isn't it? And, of course, we celebrate this Advent, the whole idea that we've received from heaven the greatest gift that the world has ever known. And we started off with Kirtland sharing about the signs of the Advent. And then Tracy shared about the surprise of the Advent. And then I shared about the substance of the Advent. And then Tracy shared again about the sun this Advent. And this Sunday, I was kind of thinking of what I wanted to do. And I was praying about it. I told Tracy last week, I said, I've got another S that I'm going to share about. And it's the Supreme. And I was thinking about this. What does the Supreme mean? The Supreme makes everything else better, doesn't it? Think about this. When I say Supreme nachos, woo! Right? Because you know that there's nothing better than Supreme nachos. Like, if you see Supreme burger on the menu, you just get that, right? If you are feeling especially rich and a little saucy, you get the Supreme car wash, right? You don't get that old silver car wash. No, I want the Supreme car wash, right? And so I was thinking about all of these things, and I said, you know, Allison is so blessed. She has this Supreme husband. And she's not here, so I can say that without getting hit, right? She went home to grab my mother and stuff. And I was thinking Supreme is so beautiful because we use it as an advertising gimmick, but you know, when I think of Jesus, I do think Supreme. And I think Christmas is a supreme event in our calendar. It's the supreme moment for humanity. That God would come to us. And I kind of want to look at some of those names of Christmas. You know, we use so many titles for Jesus, and I think that it's beautiful to do biblical studies and to kind of look at those character references and to see what some of those mean. And one that I wanted to share today is found from Isaiah 9. Of course, we read it every Christmas, but it has some interesting titles of Christ. And so Isaiah 9, verse 6, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace."
And I was thinking about this passage all this holiday, and it was kind of interesting to me that it gives you insights into the Savior, the things that people choose to call him, the titles that he is given. And so we see in this passage that he is called the child. Again, wrap your head around that with me for a moment, that the God of all the universe came as a vulnerable child for you. That he was the Son, that he is a wonderful counselor, that he is the mighty God, that he is the everlasting Father, he is the Prince of Peace. And those titles tell us a lot, don't they? If you ever want to know about somebody, ask what another person thinks of them, right? Don't ask what they think of Greg, because they're going to use some creative words, right? Don't ask what they think about Jack necessarily, because you'll hear even more creative words. But ask what people think about them, and then all of a sudden you start to hear different titles for people, don't you? And here we see these six different descriptions, right, talking about Jesus. And I was thinking about that this holiday. Do you know that I have found 625 different descriptive names for God? Like, that's my character study. So if you ever wonder if I study the Bible, yeah, it's kind of part of the gig that I have, right? But 625 different descriptive words and names found for God in the Bible. And that's incredible. And I was thinking, people have described me in creative ways, but it's never been 625 different ways, right? And I was thinking of this, and I was going, you know, it's amazing to me that this list, this particular list that we're looking at this morning, these descriptives of Jesus, came through Isaiah some 700 years before he was born. And the one that stands out to me all the time when I was younger was this idea that he called him an everlasting Father. I thought that was kind of strange, especially early on in my Christian walk. I was going, okay, we understand that there is this thing called the Trinity that we can't quite put words to, so that's what we do. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's how God has revealed himself to us, right? And so we kind of try to wrestle that to the ground, and I try to address that, and I tell you all the time and challenge you all the time, pray to the Godhead that you are needing at that moment, because it'll challenge the way you think and also expand your mind to helping you understand. Just like Andrew is a father to his kids, right? I'm a husband to my wife, and my mother is here, and I'm a son to her. I have different roles, but I'm still Andrew, right? And so when you are praying for forgiveness, yes, you should be falling on your face before a Savior. And when you're praying for protection, I hope that you would come to God the Father, who is your strong fortress. And when you needing direction, I hope that you would find yourself crying out to the Holy Spirit, who is your counselor and your guide. And so I challenge you to do all those things, because it'll expand the way that you think about God. But when I was thinking of this verse early on in my Christian walk, I said, everlasting Father, it's strange to me. Why? Because Isaiah is proclaiming the birth of a child. Okay, well, there's some names that we remember in history because of the things that they've done, of their life that they've been giving. But to talk about a child being everlasting, it seems a little out of place, doesn't it? And it's because we're bound by time. And then to think of this child as a father, well, again, I don't know any children who are fathers. That's pretty weird, right? And I was thinking about children as fathers, and I was going, okay, but Jesus never married. Jesus never fathered any kids, and it's kind of interesting. So that was one of the titles that always got me kind of feeling a little strange when I would read Isaiah, until I started to jump into the Hebrew. And I started to understand the depth of some of those titles and descriptions that Isaiah gave our Savior. And this is actually a hyphenated word when you get down to the Hebrew, Abi, meaning father, right? And not in the sense of our earthly fathers. So there's where it gets a little confusing, right? Abi, father, but not in the sense of our earthly fathers. And then Ad, meaning everlasting, this unceasing in duration. Two terms that are very strange to us. A fatherhood that is bigger than just our earthly genes, and an everlasting portion being spoken to people who are finite and have an expiry date. So I want to look at that just a little bit this morning when I look at this supremeness of who Jesus is. Well, first, let's look at everlasting. Jesus is everlasting. That's a concept that's too big for your brain right now. We understand that things are being put in motion for the end game. And what is the end game? The end game is when your story truly begins, and it starts off with an incredible banquet in the New Jerusalem. And then all eternity and all of time is open to you. Try to think about that for a minute. You see, Jesus is everlasting. And we find it hard to wrestle that to the ground because we're so bound by time. There was a date when we gave birth and we had our children, or you came into existence, and there's an expiry date that most people spend the rest of their life as they go past 40 trying to fight, right? This expiry date, and it's kind of interesting, right? We have a beginning and we have an end, and these bodies are finite, but now, since we've come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we try to understand that we're not just a human being, we're a spiritual being. And the spiritual experience, the core of who we are, that will never end. That will echo on through eternity because our spirit is eternal. So again, thinking of that and trying to struggle with that concept that there is a time coming when we will not end. Whew. There are saints that have gone before you that you said goodbye to, which is probably poor wording. Because if they were saints, you should have said farewell, because you will meet again, you understand. And I think of those things. I think of all of those who populate heaven now. I think of my pa. I get to see him again. I think of Don Trimper, and I get to hear him say wonders again. I think of Rit, because he prayed over here at the hospital with me to ask the Lord into his heart. And you know what? I get so excited because I want to know him more, and I have all eternity to do it. That we are part of a family that is everlasting. And that's strange for us, because what are we used to in our earthly experiences? We're used to things that break, right? Do you ever have those people, like Paul is one of those people, and pray for Lola. Paul has toys that go back. Now, he's getting better, and he's letting go of some things. But he has toys and the original boxes at one time that were from his childhood, because he cherished so many things, he never played with them. Not the way kids play with things, because let me tell you, my brother and I have nothing from our childhood, because it was either blown up, split apart, or caught on fire. And tell me, those were memories. Woo! Right? Nothing says Christmas like the tree up in a flame. All right? So my brother and I have had some pretty amazing childhood memories, good times, right? But things break, and we're testimony of that. They don't make things to last, right? Because if they made them to last, you wouldn't have to buy them again, and then they'd be putting themselves out of work. So they make things to break. It's kind of interesting if you look at the warranties that you get, right? The warranties are designed to last just before the thing breaks on average. And so now they come out with an extended warranty, but the things that have an extended warranty available, you want to know why there's not an extended warranty on everything? Because they started building a few things better because the competition was so you. Now they're trying to sell you an extended warranty that you don't need, but you can't buy an extended warranty on everything because most things are made to break. Amazing to me. So this idea of everlasting, it's hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to wrestle that to the ground. It's hard for us to grip this idea that the spirit within you will echo in eternity. And then Isaiah proclaims that there's a baby that will be everlasting. It messes with your head. Because when things follow their natural progression, what happens with a baby? When you feed them, when you love them, when you give them comfort and security, they grow, don't they? But Isaiah proclaims that this baby will be everlasting. This new idea for God. An everlasting God. And it's kind of interesting because we've spent the whole month celebrating what we feel is the start of Jesus' journey. But that's not true, nor is it reality. That's the moment that you and I became aware of God in that form, Emmanuel, God with us. But make no mistake, Jesus has always been. He's everlasting. Grasp that with me today. One of the passages that helped me in this arena is found in John 8. John 8, verses 56 to 59. There's religious leaders that are arguing with Jesus. And that's an incredible passage to read. If you like hearing Jesus' witty comments to those who want to argue and stand in opposition of him, this is one of the golden ones. John 8, again, you can read it sometime. But religious leaders are arguing with Jesus and accusing him of being a false prophet. They even go as far as to say, you're demon-possessed. And it's a beautiful, awesome exchange if you love the wit that Jesus displayed while he was here on earth. And the whole chapter is worth a reread, but I want to read to you verses 58 and 59. It says this. It says, your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. Then they replied, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? Very truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. At this, they picked up stones to stone him, and Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. In this passage, Jesus reveals that he's immortal. And he used some awesome words that ignited in the religious leaders some rage because he uses wording from Moses' experience from the burning bush. Jesus says, I am. And those who were arguing with him, they knew that phrase because they revered Moses. And Jesus was proclaiming in this moment that he is everlasting. He is unceasing in duration. He knows no end. And then he supernaturally slips away from an angry mob. Like they didn't know who he was. They didn't recognize. Where they picked up stones to hit him. Couldn't find him. He walked right through them. Close your eyes for just a moment. Just close your eyes and think of this day. Because everything seems to be changing, doesn't it? And our world seems to be in turmoil, isn't it? That the country and the world is divided. That things seem to be so turned upside down that nothing seems to make sense. That even though the world has listened to the best experts for 2 years, we're still going backwards. I want you to know that even in this mess, Jesus is everlasting. When everything seems to wear out, break down, or just not work, I want you to know that Jesus is everlasting. In a world where things break, our relationships to our health, to our cars, to our trinkets, I want you to know that Jesus will never wear out. Jesus will never break down. Jesus will never become outdated. Jesus will never lose his throne because Jesus is everlasting. I hope that that encourages you today. In a world with no constants, he is. He is what? He is the I am. Think about that. All right, you can look again. He is everlasting. He is Ad. And beyond Ad, he is also Father. Abi, Jesus is a father. Again, a word that seems a little tainted because they're talking about a baby. A word that seems a little tainted because we know that he never married or had children and offspring. And I kind of think about that. I said, you know what? It's interesting. Then we throw into this idea that many people, even in this room, didn't have a great relationship with their own father. You know, there was a day when fathers kind of provided, and then they came home and they sat in their chair and they ate and you left them alone. They didn't take time for you because they provided for you. That was the time that they were taken for you. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, although I think that they missed out on many blessings. You know, that's why the breakdown of the nuclear family, why it's under attack, and that's what makes me mad. And there is a generation that is fatherless. The ones that aren't fatherless have a father like Homer Simpson. And that sometimes is even worse, right? And we live in this day where the nuclear family and this title of father has been under attack. And right now, it's faulty. We read stories of fathers shaking their kids to death because they were crying. We hear and read stories of neglect where kids are left in cars and are cooked in the heat because fathers are running to drugs. We read stories of children wanting to emancipate themselves from their fathers in the court system down south. And you know what? I look at this world and I say it is so upside down. And here Isaiah calls this baby a father. Interesting terminology. But I look at John 14, and again, it's one of those things that helped me kind of bring this to light, this idea of Jesus is a father, and it helped me understand so much more about the Trinity. Jesus is having a conversation with Philip in John 14, and he's telling him about heaven. And I want to read verse 9 and following. It says this, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Isn't it interesting? Miracle after miracle, freak show after freak show they had already seen. And what does Philip want? He wants just a little bit more. Doesn't he sound like us, right? He's saying, okay, but Jesus, you know what? Show us the Father, and that will be enough. As if he hadn't already seen enough. And Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. That passage has messed with my brain for 30 years. And Philip says, you know what? I want to see a little more. So he says to Jesus, show me the Father. Jesus replies, haven't you seen me? Haven't you seen me? Jesus was telling his disciples, don't you know me, Philip? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. Again, this connection of the Trinity that is so hard for us to grasp. And it's so special. And you think about that, it's kind of interesting. And then I go back to Deuteronomy when it talks about the nation needs to be a father to the fatherless. It's the same word. It's found in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 24, I want to read verses 17 to 22. It says, do this. Do not deprive the foreigner or the fatherless of justice. Or take the cloak of the widow as a pledge. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. That is why I command you to do this. When you are harvesting in the field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it there for the foreigner, for the fatherless and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. And when you beat the olives from the tree, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner and the fatherless and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in the vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. That is why I commanded you to do this. Here we see the nation being told to be a father to the fatherless. And it was a position of honor. And those who did not have a father figure, the nation was to raise with honor themselves. And the father who did not provide or protect for their family, they were dealt with severely, right? There's a lot of verses about that in the Bible that, again, people like to wash over, that if you don't provide for those who God has given you as blessings, then you're worse off than the heathen. Jesus came so that the fatherless could have a father. So again, close your eyes for a moment. Do you know that you're never alone? Do you know that you are never abandoned? That you have one who came for you, and he is a good, good father. He not only protects you, but he wants to provide for you, and he is your great high priest. He longs to lead you through every chapter of your life and to guide you and to protect you in a way that only he can. Until you get the joy of seeing him face to face. You see, this Father encourages you. This Father cheers for you. He's a dad who will always provide. He'll always take time for you. He'll always keep his promises. This Father can lead you from the destruction of your sin into peace and into the holiness that he offers. This Father longs for your healing. This Father longs for your success. This Father longs for your victory. This Father, he stands on guard for you day and night and defends you always. Because this Father is everlasting. This Father is everlasting. Why did Isaiah call this baby an everlasting father? The same reason that it's good for us today, because the people of his day lived on uncertain days. Can you relate? The people of this day needed something solid to cling to. Can you relate? The people of Isaiah's day needed a father figure. Do you? One who is hope, security, protection, provision, and a spiritual leader like none other. Jesus longs to be that for you and for me. And just as Jesus wept over Jerusalem, so Jesus weeps over us. And his longing is still the same. What did he say? He longed to gather them together. Like a hen gathers her chicks under his wing, so Jesus longs to gather us. My hope is this Christmas you'd let him embrace you. My hope is this Christmas you'd let him cover you. My hope is this Christmas that you'd let him care for you. My hope is this Christmas that you'd let him be, Abiad, your everlasting Father. Do you need that today? Maybe you just need the reminder of that today in the times in which we live, that he is the solid rock. And he is worthy of us building our life upon him. Everybody bow your heads. Whew. Abiad. Your everlasting Father. That's only two of the 625 names. My prayer is that you would let him be all that he longs to be for you. My prayer is that you would let him heal and protect and provide and care and discipline and hold and comfort and be that everlasting Father that he longs to be for you. People, rejoice, 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 because he is Abiad. Let's pray. Father God, I love these services. I think they're so beautiful. I think that this moment on the calendar is special. I think that our hearts are almost more open to receive. Lord, I love the intimacy of this. I am so grateful. And I am so thankful that you are the everlasting Father. that you came for me? Are you kidding me? That you came to our rescue? Oh. I pray that we would never lose the wonder of Christmas and the awe of who you are. I pray that we would always be overwhelmed at the titles given to you. You are supreme. And it's not a gimmick. It's not a sales tactic. You are everything. I pray that we get it. So, Lord, I want to say thank you for Christmas. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Savior. Thank you for every title that has ever been proclaimed about who you are. And thank you for being Abiad. We love you today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and keep you. Next year, we are doing our year in review. Oh, that's fun. How many are glad to see the year go? Woo! But you know what? I just fear there could be more of the same. That's okay. God is holding it all. We'll review it and rejoice because even in the midst of the storm, he has blessed us greatly. So God bless you guys. Have an incredible week in the Lord.